Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua chapter 4 this morning. Joshua chapter 4. And I'd like to talk to you this morning about two memorials. We sang about the old rugged cross this morning, and it's on top of our steeple here in our main sanctuary. And we see that cross, we sometimes just see it, and it doesn't move us the same way every time. Unless you're thinking about a cross and what it means, sometimes it's just a cross, and it doesn't carry the full weight. And it's not a deficiency on the cross. Really, the cross is just a symbol for us to remember what Jesus did. I've got a trophy in my house that belonged to my dad. It was a bowling trophy for third place. I have no idea how he won that. I have no idea about that trophy. As a matter of fact, it was in a box of junk to be discarded. And for whatever reason, I wanted to keep that trophy because for me, it was a personal connection to my dad, and it's just something that I can hold on to and look forward to. But for the most part, it's just upstairs on a shelf collecting dust. And when I look at it, sometimes I just see an old bowling trophy. Sometimes I look at it and I see, and I really don't know the story behind it, a third place bowling trophy? Does that sound like it's got a whole lot of cachet with it, a whole lot of privilege? I don't know. In my mind, I build up some kind of great story. You know, the story where my dad almost bowled a perfect game, but wouldn't be the case because he was in third place. So I don't really know all the details about it. So for me, it's just a trophy. And that's probably all it will ever be. This morning, I'd like us to look at Joshua chapter 4. Because last week we were looking as to Joshua and the children of Israel crossing over the River Jordan. Today we're going to go back to the river because they haven't moved that far past the river. But God has some important instructions for Joshua and the children of Israel. And it's about setting up a memorial. It's because we as people have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to forget some of the most insignificant details in our life. Like I'm going to ask you right now, did you take your medicine this morning? And I realize I've just lost some of you for the rest of the hour as you're trying to remember, did I take it? Sometimes the insignificant details just get away with us. But how about the really big details? Let's just go ahead and let's clear the table. Let's just clear the air. That big question you're wondering about right now, did I comb my hair? Did I? I don't remember. It's been a while since I've done it. We forget all the right things, it seems. And we remember all the wrong things. Have you noticed that tendency that we have as people and our connection with our memories? We sometimes forget. And that ought not be so. And we know that. And I want you to know, I promised some ladies that I wasn't going to reference a conversation, but I'm going to go ahead and do it because it just fits in so well right here. Because I told them on earlier in the week, I said, listen, we're going to be talking about that subject. So I'll disclose their, or hold back their names. And you probably can identify what they were talking about. They were having a conversation about what they couldn't remember. And they came into the office and we were talking, and they couldn't remember what it was that they were going to tell me when they were going to tell me about their conversation about not remembering. And I said, oh, this is just too good to remember, because sometimes we even forget that we've forgotten. And that ought not be so. This morning, as we look at the children of Israel and their journey into the promised land, there is a normal that's going to have to be replaced. Because I think that I can establish pretty well, and I don't have to lay too hard of a foundation or too deep of a foundation for you to agree, that forgetting comes natural and forgetting seems normal. But for the children of Israel, the challenge that they're going to face in chapter 4 is going to be remaining, holding in that holding pattern like they were in that period in the wilderness. Or are they going to move into the promised land, and are they going to grow spiritually as a people? And the river was going to be a very crucial moment for Israel to remember what God could do in their life. And if they've just come to this expectation that God's been there all along and God's been doing this, and that's just the way it is, their faith is going to be challenged, and their faith is going to be encouraged through 12 stones, actually 24 stones as we look at the account. And the importance that we take away from Joshua chapter 4 is why it is that we remember. If you've ever had an encounter with the Lord Jesus, you never forget that encounter. If you've ever had the Holy Spirit touch you and minister to you in a moment of great pressure, of great agony, of great anxiety, you have experience the comfort that only He can bring. And maybe you're not at that place. Maybe you're not in that moment right now. But isn't it sweet when you think back about those difficult moments where the Lord met your need? When you lean back on those moments, and I want you to know that in those moments, in those tender moments, when the Lord works in our life, it's not something that we are just supposed to keep bottled up. As we're going to demonstrate from Joshua chapter 4 this morning. Our point is this: one generation remembers so that every generation knows. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time and ask Him to bless our time in His Word. Lord Jesus, we come to You today and we lift up Your name. Lord, Your name is the name above all names. You are our King. You are the mighty King. God, You delivered Israel at a very difficult place in the journey of going into the Promised Land. And matter of fact, Lord, You did it in such a remarkable and extravagant way. You parted the waters. And Lord, help us this morning to take away the lesson that You set in stone for the generations to come that they might know. Lord, would You help us by Your grace to remember what You do in our lives each and every moment. And Lord, give us the grace not to sit on it, but to share it. And use us as agents of Your grace to share comfort, hope, and life that's found only in You. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen. I'd like you to look with me at Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, as we look at Israel remembering at the river. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men of the people out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared out of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. As we've just looked at this account, we see a remarkable event. The children of Israel have crossed over the Jordan River, and God wants Israel to remember what He did for them. So He sends 12 men, by Joshua's command, back to the river to gather up some stones at the spot where they crossed. And they were going to set these stones up, the place that they camped. Now, When we anticipate what God is going to do in our lives, so we've been working through this, when we share that anticipation, we need to share the anticipation of what God will do when we remember what God has done. And that's what the stones are going to represent for Israel. They are going to be a reminder, a memorial of what God has done and what God will do. So for the children of Israel, the command was going to be something not that remarkable, other than just setting up 12 stones to remember the victory at the River Jordan. Now, I've got prepared for you on the map. I know it's so small that you can't really see all of the details here. The green arrow represents where the children of Israel crossed. And they are going to camp right outside of Jericho near Gilgal. And it's important for them to realize that crossing this river is a big deal for them because they are going into the land of promise. And they are going to set up in the land of promise this memorial. And you would think that being in the land itself would be enough of a testimony. But along the journey, God wanted Israel to set up, in this case, this memorial for a very specific reason. And it would do good for each and every one of us to set up a memorial of sort in our life. We sang about the cross a while ago and how that is a reminder of what Jesus did. But by the end of our message today, I don't want to say the end of the hour because I realize I might have turned you off on that one. But I want to say at the end of our message this morning, I hope that you understand the significance and the importance of the cross and where our worship is directed. But for the children of Israel, these rocks are going to present an opportunity for Israel to teach the next generation, as we see in verse 6. This may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye by these stones? And I find in that statement a lot of hope or a lot of discouragement considering how you're reading it. Hope in that the children are asking about what these stones mean. Hope that the children of Israel see and have they're going to continue to multiply, they're going to continue to grow, and their children are going to want to know what God has done in the past. I read that hopefully. But if I read it pessimistically, I see that the children of Israel perhaps have stopped talking about what God had done in their life. And so when the children come to that mile marker, to those stones, they begin to wonder, what in the world do these stones represent? So we stop before we make the evaluation, and we realize what has presented by setting up those stones. It's going to be an opportunity for the children to learn something. It's going to provide an opportunity for the parents to share with the children the lesson that they've learned. And we see that in verse 7. Then shall ye answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And it was to remind them of what God had done down at the river. Why is it that we remember the moment? What's the takeaway that you and I have when we look back or when we consider our memorials? I remember as a young man visiting a cemetery once and seeing an incredibly large monument in the middle of the cemetery. It was incredibly large, several stories tall. And as I looked at this giant memorial, I went back and did some research on this particular memorial, and it happened to be a very wealthy businessman had lost a family member, and he established this gravestone at the cemetery 100 years earlier. Now, there was nobody around that could explain to me the significance of that memorial. I had to do some digging. And as I did some reading and found out the importance of it, it was just that this man loved his son so much that he set this gigantic memorial up for his son. And long after the family had passed, that memorial still stood, but nobody really knew what it meant. So I'd like to set straight this morning when we remember what it is that we do and how we establish a proper path to remember what memorials do mean in our lives, not just in our lives, but in future generations. Because there comes to be a reality. There's going to have to be some struggle that we're going to have to do when we're laying down that memorial of those stones. We remember that if you've ever been there, if you were there in that moment, that the moment is far greater than the memory. Do you remember a particular time in your life when God did a work in your life, that you were there, that you were witnessing it? In that moment, the way the Lord worked in that moment in your life and in my life, there's just no equal to seeing God in that moment. And I'm grateful for those moments. In the good times and the difficult moments, that as I look back on them, I do so with a memory that begins to waver, begins to fail a little bit. But in that moment, it does not diminish how important and how significant what God had done in that moment. So we think about our memories, and they lead us to remember a moment that is far greater than the memory. As a young man growing up and loving to play army, I loved to pretend like I was in World War II, and that was a long time before my time. And some of you were probably there, and some of you probably remember that time. It was amazing to hear about the sacrifices that our citizens, our people here in America made during that time. How everyone pulled together and we worked together. And it just seemed to be that it was just a completely different spirit than exists today. And I want to tell you that my temptation is, as I long for the spirit of cooperation and the spirit of determination and the spirit of community that existed in that day, I realize that today is a different day. And that things have changed and that life has moved in a different pace and in a different direction. And sometimes I can take a memory that's just a memory for me because I've read about it in a book that someone else has shared or a story that someone else has told. And for me, it's only going to be a memory based upon what someone has told me. And it doesn't ever connect with that particular moment. If you've lived a moment, you've got a memory. I haven't lived that moment, so all I have to rely on is your memory. And the problem with that is that sometimes our memories can remember the moments greater than they actually were. Like every day I'll come home and I'll tell my wife about this really large moment, maybe not every day. In my mind, I hold back some of those really powerful moments where I come out and I feel like a champion. And when I'm thinking about the story that I'm going to tell her, I think about that moment, and it's so much bigger in my life. You know how this is. When you're telling somebody about an event or something that someone said or something that someone did to you, whenever you go to share it with someone else, have you ever noticed that after you say it, it just doesn't seem as big as it did in that moment? And a lot of times, she'll just look at me and say, okay, so what's the takeaway, or That was it? Are you done? My wife is very loving and listens to me far better than I ever listened to her. But as I think back and saying it, that the memory just doesn't seem as big as the moment. Why we remember and what we take away from the memorial is that the lesson that was learned has got to be greater than the memorial itself. In the history of this church, Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, our church has Andrews Memorial in its name. And over the years, children have asked me out at Camp Deer Lake, why is it and what is a Memorial Baptist? Can you tell me? Because I see all over the county, a lot of these churches are Memorial Baptist. And what flavor of Baptist is that? And I'll say, well, at my church, the name Andrews is connected to the people who gifted the property that our current church building sits on. We remember the gift of the Andrews family. A wife gifted this property in memory of her husband, and how special that is. And that's why it's in the name, Andrews Memorial. We remember what about the gift. And if our memorials get to be greater than the lessons that we've learned, we've missed the point of the memorial. So we hope we've answered why it is that we are to remember. But let's examine why it is that we forget, because that seems to be the common problem around all of us. Why is it that we forget? Sometimes we end up forgetting because of failures on our part. We're not where we need to be. We're not serving God like we need to serve. And so we have moved away from God in the sense that it's just not important to us anymore. And when God's not the center of your purpose and the center of your focus, it's really easy to forget what he's done in your life. Sometimes we forget because of a broken heart, because of something that someone has said or done to us. And the amazing part of, and the amazing reality of our heartbreak is sometimes the words that people say to us stay with us far longer than they ever should. And we live weighted down by those infractions, by those hurtful words. And it's hard to shake them. And it breaks our heart because we've been hurt. And pain is sometimes a reminder that we forget because our heart was broken by someone. And we just can't deal with that heartbreak anymore. Another reason why we forget is because we had an unrealistic expectation of what God was doing or God could do. And I realize when I say that, that sounds a whole lot worse than I intended it to mean. Because faith does not put a limit on what God can do, because faith sees what God has done in the past, God can do greater in the future. But sometimes we tend to forget or we wander away because we thought, okay, God, I tried to do it this way and I went down this road for a little piece, but you just didn't move the way I thought you should, and so I'm just going to give up. And we forget to follow after God. Sometimes that forgetting comes from grief because the pain is just difficult to bear, and that's how sometimes we deal with grief, is we just swallow it down. And over the course of the past week, it's amazing how little moments can bring up memories or moments in even in my life. And I have to deal with some issues in my life, some moments in my life that were tender. And I'm praying that the Lord would touch family who's lost a child this week. And grief has a way of helping us forget because we just hold on to that grief so much. It's part of the grieving process, but if we hold on it too long, we get to that place of despair where we don't feel like God hears our prayers or God even knows, because it seems to be that our grief grows larger than our God. Sometimes we forget because there's just so much distance from the time that God worked in the past. And this is going to be a challenge for the children of Israel because they've just crossed the Jordan River. And as they've just come across, they're on the heels fresh of a victory. But what's the challenge going to be for Israel in the generations to come when they look back at that moment? And for some people, they're going to be able to remember and just share. And for other people, at best, it's just going to be a learned memory. I think sometimes we forget because we're just silent on the matter. We stop talking about what God has done in our life. And that ought not be so. to share your experience with another believer, with an unbeliever? Is God working through your circumstance to demonstrate to you that what he's done in your life, he can do in their life? And to demonstrate in their life what he has done in your life, he can do so much more in their life as well. And for the children of Israel, these rocks are setting up in place for them to remember what God has done, because it seems to be, as people, forgetting is our normal response. We do have to address that personal connection to the memorial. What it must have been for the children of Israel who've just crossed the dry ground, who've just crossed over into the promised land, and now that night camping with these 12 stones that are there as a reminder. And even though it was fresh off and fresh out of the water, this generation looks back in remembrance at what God had done. As a matter of fact, that's what God wanted the children of Israel to do when it came to the river, that they remembered what he did, so that future generations be able to move forward in knowing what God has done. Look with me in Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in this time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. And if that was the point of the message, if that was the point of the memory, if that was the point of the memorial, that'd be a pretty big, significant moment to remember. We do this all over our country. We set up memorials to remember a particular moment. But for Israel, it was supposed to be something larger than just setting a date. In verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You see, the next generation knows what God has done in your life when you set up that memorial. You remember what God has done, and the next generation can know what God has done in your life. The future generations to come are the ones that are going to know of God's power, we see in Joshua chapter 4. In verse 24, that the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. But he continues there. It wasn't just for the children. It wasn't just for the future. In verse 24, he says that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And that memorial was the stand, not just for future generations, not just for children, but for the children of Israel themselves in that moment, that they stay faithful to God. And here's our point that I'm trying to make from Joshua chapter 4. Beyond normal, the lesson is never forgotten. So for the children of Israel in this moment, crossing the river, it had to have been something they talked about for years and years and years to come. It was something, a moment that they were talking about. As a matter of fact, we're talking about it today. Thank the Lord that the Lord wrote it down for us, and we have that moment to remember. How important it is to remember! But oh, how quickly we can forget. For that, I'd like us to look at the mount. And a lesson that we learned from another rock. Not 12 stones, but one lonely rock. We're going to look at John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. And this, of course, when you consider Jesus arriving into Jerusalem, this is a moment to remember. Look what John writes here in John chapter 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understand not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with them when he called out Lazarus out of his grave and raised him up from the dead, bear record. For this cause, people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And it has always plagued my mind as to how it is when you start looking at the story of the last week of Jesus here on earth, how he could ride into Jerusalem so triumphant and so celebrated. He's met in the crowds. The Gospels tell us that people laid down their coats, they laid down palm branches, they waved palm branches, and they cried out, "Hosanna!" to God as he comes in the city. But that is not the way he leaves town. No, that's a moment to forget. Not that we should, but it's not the best of our moments as people. In John chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, of course, Jesus is now before Pilate. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe. And he said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the reminder of Jesus arriving into town triumphantly on Palm Sunday is all but wiped out by the crowd that has so fickly turned upon him and cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him, his blood be upon us." And while we know in faith that that's how we come to Christ, "Lord, may your blood forgive us and consecrate us and wash us clean because you have taken our place of punishment," the crowd was not crying out in this moment in repentance. They're saying, "You want to do this? All right, let us be held accountable for what we do with this man." The cross that they led him up to on that hill called Mount Calvary, that old rugged cross, is not a memorial that we should be proud of, because the cross that they hung our blessed Savior on was a punishment that was reserved for the most defiled, the most vile, and the most wicked experiencing judgment. But for him, he didn't deserve that. Just a few days earlier, he was welcomed as the king, and now we find the king on the cross. And when we talk about the cross, we need to do so with reverence and respect. But we do not worship the cross per se, because we look to the one who is on the cross. The gospel is the triumph of the King on the cross. And when we look to that memorial, it can be for us just a symbol that we wear around our neck or have as jewelry or we hang up in our house, or it can be a great lesson, the greatest lesson of what God can do and to what lengths He went to provide, not just for this generation, but for the generations to come. The gospel is the triumph of the King on the cross. So when we see the cross, we don't have a Savior who's on a cross because He's risen. But that's next Sunday morning. Today, when we consider the cross, it is a memorial to us of what He has done for us. And it is a reminder that we have in us the King of Kings in our life, who is not dead and who is not defeated, but is risen indeed. And that His cross is a symbol of victory, not for our finest moment, but for His. And it should move us to that place of worship that we never forget. And if you've experienced Him as your Lord and Savior, you can never forget. And you will never forget. So for the children of Israel, setting up some stones, it was so that they could remember what God had done, so that they could send the message of what God is doing, and they could remember that they needed to stay following after Him alone. And for the cross is a reminder to us that Jesus rescues the sinner beyond the normal to life everlasting. Because a sinner to experience judgment. For a sinner, normal is to give an account for your sins before a holy God. But when we look to Jesus, Jesus has changed that reality. He's removed that penalty by His death on the cross. And through coming to Him in faith, asking Him to save you by trusting in Him alone, that He's the only way, Jesus moves us beyond that normal reality of judgment. He gives us that promise of everlasting life. And how sweet to turn from our sin to the Savior. We kneel at the cross, but we don't worship that symbol. We worship the One who is on that symbol and what He did on that symbol. But we worship Him because that symbol did not beat Him, did not best Him, for He is alive. Here's our response this morning. One generation remembers so that every generation knows. So what we spent our time talking about this morning, what God has done in your life, it's important for you to look back and to think about that, to work through that. And remembrance isn't just an exercise where you sit down and you try to outline all of the details, just hit all the big points. It's a life-changing, impactful moment when a sinner meets a Savior. And that remembrance is something that transforms your life forever. So if you're forgetting something this morning, take a moment and remember. And go back to the beginning. And I want you to know, when we think back over the course of our lives, there are moments that we are not proud of, and there are moments that we are proud. Sometimes we gloss over those difficult moments. And if there's anything to say about this past year, if we were just to skip over this past year, what we would fail to remember and fail to learn and fail to see is how God has met our needs week in and week out when we didn't even know which end was up. So take a moment and remember. And if you find yourself forgetting, get back to where you left off. For the children of Israel in verse 24, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And those stones were to be for children of Israel a reminder that where you're at right now, don't depart from this. Where you're at right now in our relationship, where you're leaning upon me, where you're trusting upon me, you do not forget that, and you stay in that way. And the great reality for us as believers and for non-believers is that there's a way back, and there's a way to the path, and that is going back to where you left off for the believer. And for the unbeliever, it's in turning to Him. Let Him write our course. Letting Him write our story. And then every one of us getting ready for God's triumph. Because that moment at the river was a big moment of victory. And those rocks were going to symbolize that. But God had so much more in store for Israel than just getting them from one side of a river to the other. And setting up some stones to remember that moment. And the cross for us is the reminder that what happened on Palm Sunday remains true to this moment, that the King has come. And that our only hope is crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, save us. Deliver us." May our prayer be this: Lord, use my life as a memorial that future generations may know you. Let's all stand at this time.